He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's traveling, Dean.
Traveling, Dean. Dean, where are you headed?
I'm headed to beautiful New York City.
Oh, where's that?
That's a big city to the east, I'm told.
Yeah.
Got a lot of garbage on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I'm told it's one of their number one tourist attractions. Hey, you know what I just noticed?
What?
When I normally when I do this segment with you every Thursday,
yeah,
I'm seated.
Yes.
At a microphone, but because I'm here at the airport, I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm standing. The intro song that you just played, the Dean, 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 Dean song, is perfect for slow dancing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
by yourself.
A lot of people are using that as their first dance at weddings now.
I can understand why, because it's infectious.
Yeah.
I was just standing here at gate H5 waiting to board. And the music came on, and I couldn't stand still.
Right.
I started dancing. A lady with a child was walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
I grabbed her and the little tyke, and we slow danced for the duration of the song.
That's beautiful. Yeah, what a beautiful picture that is. That's great.
Yeah, it was nice. Security's not here yet, but they should
be soon. Any moment. Yeah, be careful. Yeah. Dean, what do you make of what's going on? Wendy and I discussed this a little bit yesterday during our bonus hour, but now there have been some new folds in the story. Ellen DeGeneres and her friendship with George W. Bush at a sporting event. What do you make of all this?
Well, she I guess she published or posted a photo of her at the Dallas Cowboys game this past weekend.
Yeah.
Seated next to George W. Bush, and she took a lot of heat. Because people have, you know, said, you know, how can somebody with generally pretty liberal views be sitting next to a conservative? And Ellen, on her show the next day, talked about how W is her friend and that it is possible to coexist in this world with somebody who has views other than your own and to be friends with them. And that's what, you know, that's what the world should be. And I happen to agree with her on that. Seems like a simple thing.
You would think.
But now people like Mark Ruffalo,
Susan Sarandon,
and some others have said, hell no, don't be friends with him. You can't be friends with him. He's a war criminal. They said a lot of innocent lives were lost in the wars that took place while he was president. And that they cannot forgive him until he apologizes. That's not likely to happen. But, you know, some people want to hold a grudge. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess everyone's just the way Ellen is entitled to have her viewpoint that, you know, we can politely disagree. We can be cordial with somebody with whom we have political disagreements. Some people apparently, you know, feel quite differently about it, that there's no way that you should, bury the hatchet with somebody that you feel was not working in the interest of the United States. So, I don't know. I guess everyone's entitled to their views. I just wish that, you know, people would leave poor Ellen alone. And if this, in one measure, stops that dancing on the show,
you know,
I am going to be very, very upset.
You said it yourself, you know, people want to hold a grudge. All I can say is grudges are no good for you because it's just this buildup of negative energy. You have to let go of some things and then move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I feel exactly the same way that you do about it. What's the point? What's to be benefited from holding a grudge against George W. Bush? You know, what's happened has happened.
And it doesn't hurt him. It hurts you, the grudge holder, you know?
I think so, too. I mean, these people must really be upset, you know, that we have diplomatic relations with Vietnam and Japan and Germany, you know, the countries with which, you know, we've had actual wars that we actually, you know, we've dropped nuclear bombs on that, you know, we're now friends with. What good does it do to hold a grudge like that? you know, I was never especially a big fan of George W. Bush, but, you know, it seems like a nice enough guy if you're sitting next to him at a football game. I can see where it would be amusing. We've seen at various state functions where George W. Bush and Barack and Michelle Obama seem to get along beautifully.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, you know, I admire Mark Ruffalo and Susan Sarandon. They have very strong views on lots of things and feel passionately about it, work tirelessly, donate tons of money toward the causes in which they believe. On this one, I think I disagree that there's no such thing as forgiving somebody.
She's had other celebrities come to her defense. I know Kristen Bell was one of the first to say, hey, what she's doing is a good thing. She's showing that people can coexist. Reese Witherspoon said something similarly. But, Dean, I said this yesterday. At the end of every episode of Ellen's show, she says, be kind to one another. I think she was practicing what she preaches, don't you?
Yeah, she even referenced that when she was addressing this this whole thing on Monday at the George W. Bush controversy, that at the end of each show, she says, you know, what's the quote? Be kind to each other. She said, I don't mean just to people who you agree with. I mean to everybody. And man, especially these days where if somebody says the sky is blue, someone jumps down your neck and says the sky is red.
Right.
I mean, there's so much division and so much polarity in people now. Somebody steps forward and is, you know, trying to bridge a gap. What's the horrible thing that's going to come out of that?
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. You know what? It's killed my slow dancing.
Slow dancing?
Yeah. Well, when the music stopped, I stopped. But I was sort of on a high from the dancing. I was feeling good, and now I might kick somebody.
Oh, don't do that. You don't want to. There's no reason for that.
Yeah, lady, come over here.
Lady. Oh God!
Wow!
I'm going to hold a grudge on you about you.
Yeah, well, blame Mark Ruffalo.
That's all you can
I
do.
I will. That's blame who I always blame.
Yep.
All right. We are going to continue talking to Dean about movies that are coming out, but right now we have a 4-pack of movie passes to Classic Cinemas to give away, so you can go see a movie with three of your favoritest people. Share the joy of movies with family and friends this holiday. You can find them at classiccinemas.com. For more holiday fun, make sure you stop by our Goodwill Tree Time broadcast a week from today. It's next Thursday, October 17th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Tree Time in Lake Barrington. That's where you can trade in your artificial Christmas tree for a $75 discount off select new ones. So it's 10-10. Let's do the 10th caller, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. 10th caller walks away with a 4-pack of movie passes to Classic Cinemas. You can go to classiccinemas.com. And need to congratulate someone before we get back to Dean. Annette from Belvedere is going to see a movie with three of her friends. She just got a 4-pack of movie passes to Classic Cinemas. We're also going to be giving some away a week from today at Tree Time in Lake Barrington during our Goodwill Tree Time broadcast. If you didn't win tickets, just get some classiccinemas.com. Great stocking stuffers.
Dean, before we get into this week's movies, I saw Joker the other night, and I just have to ask you your thoughts on this. I liked the movie a lot, but there was a message that was kind of first implied and then vocalized by Arthur Fleck, Joaquin Phoenix's character in the movie, and that is that he admits that life was kind of passing him by. He didn't know if he really existed until he started doing violent things, and then he kind of came alive. I thought that was kind of, even though I understood the importance of that message in the movie, I thought that that was kind of a harsh takeaway for a lot of it. You know what I mean? To admit you're nothing until you do something violent.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody was so upset about with the movie, that it's, you know, it sends that kind of message. It sort of, you know, whether or not it triggers violence, it certainly validates it. That's for sure. When a message is sent like that, and whether, you know, somebody acts on it or not, you know, I don't know. I'm not really qualified to talk about that. I think that there were, there was so much security at all the screenings when the movie opened last weekend. I think they probably prevented anything that might have happened, although there were some incidents around the country, not of violence, but of unruly behavior that could have turned into something worse had there not been a lot of security.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of the reasons that I felt a little creepy about the movie. I mean, it's, would you, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I think it's brilliantly performed and it's brilliantly put together.
Yes.
But there is that message and overall feeling, which is very extremely dark and ultimately disturbing, that, you know, left me a little ambivalent about the whole thing.
Wendy hasn't seen it yet, but I told her, I said, that character that he plays, not once he becomes the Joker, but the origin story where he's Arthur Fleck, that's a guy that you see every day. You pass by that guy when you're walking around town, you see a guy that just doesn't fit in.
Right. And even more terrifying, that's the guy that you don't see every day.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, in his own house collecting guns and posting you know, disturbing social media online. Those are the people that I think that's what terrifies me most. That there are people like that for a variety of reasons. One of which is very clearly pointed out in the movie, that our mental health system is underfunded and failing and closing, and people who do need help are not getting the help that they need. That's part of the reason. But you know, people hear these messages. And, you know, they feel like, boy, I'm not alone in the way I feel. And so, you know, whether or not that turns into some kind of action, hopefully it does not.
Hopefully yeah. not. I'm going to see it this weekend, so I'll get back to you.
All right, please do.
I'm recommending to people when they, because it is, you know, dark and disturbing. It actually made me a little depressed. I'm suggesting to people that they blot out enough time so they can first see Joker and then run into another theater and see Downton Abbey just as a, you know, like a counteracting.
Punch. Yep.
Yeah, counteracting the yeah, palate cleanser. Exactly.
That's crazy.
Cinematic sorbet. Yep.
Yeah, that's what it is. It is. All right, let's talk about this week's movies. Let's start out with Gemini Man. That's Will Smith and Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith plays a government assassin, because you can never get too much killing and violence in movies, whether it's from the Joker or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's a longtime government assassin who decides to retire. Something happens, which is explained in the plot line, where suddenly he becomes the target for assassination, and ultimately learns that the assassin who is looking for him is a 20-year-old clone of himself. That somewhere along the way, because he was viewed as being the best that there ever was, that a clone was made of him, and now he, young Will Smith, is searching for older Will Smith, and is out to get him. The storyline in this movie, I actually wound up liking this new movie.
Oh.
It is getting trashed by everybody, but I didn't like the movie so much because of the plot or the acting. There, you know, are things in this movie where you roll your eyes. They're so cliche and they're so you know, ridiculous. But yeah, I have to say that those things were outweighed by the technical wonder that two-time Oscar-winning director Ang Lee has put together. You know, just technologically speaking, of making this movie so unbelievable to watch. I mean, it is absolutely flawless.
Yeah,
being the old Will Smith and the young Will Smith. I mean, you know, I guess part of my brain is thinking, oh, it's the old Patty Duke show, where you're only, you know, if you see the front of one person, you're only going to see the back of the other.
Right.
But
right.
There are fight scenes. There are very, very intricate scenes where the two Will Smiths are on screen, battling, interacting at the same time. And I found it a little bit fascinating to watch all of it. Now, all of that, which I really liked, plus this movie was shot in 124 frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only a few theaters around the country where you can watch a film at 124 frames per second. The normal rate at which you watch a movie is 24 frames per second. So the clarity, if you can find a movie theater showing it at this upgraded film speed, the clarity is mind-blowingly clear. If you can find one that's IMAX and also 3D at the same time, it's a rather immersive experience if you're able to see something like that. So normally the technology and the effects don't bother me that much. Normally I would say if you don't have a story, you don't have a film. I think the story's fine. It's not a terrible story. There are a few times where I did roll my eyes. But I got to say, when I left this movie, I was like, wow, that was something. That was really something to see. So I wound up giving it a Dean's List B.
Wow.
That's much higher than most critics. I'm anxious to see it and see.
Yeah.
Everyone's given it about a C or two stars normally, huh?
Right. Yeah. It's not getting good reviews overall. But, everybody has their own opinion.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. The other big movie opening up this weekend, Dean, is The Addams Family. This is like a 3D animation version of
is
them,
it
right?
Ookie?
it's Ookie and it's Spooky.
Ah,
I don't remember the rest of the song, but the house is a museum.
When people come to see them.
Right. They really are a
scream.
The Addams Family.
Yeah, but I was screaming because the movie was so flat and uninteresting, unfortunately. The original comic strip, Addams Family, the TV show, the couple of movies that have come out, the Broadway musical, they've all had, there's a certain charm and humor and heart to what's made the Addams Family exist all of these years. And while this movie has all the characters that you know, Gomez, Morticia, Lurch, Uncle Fester, Wednesday, the Pugsley,
Cousin It
is there. Sing is there as well. They're all there. There's something just so empty about the feeling of this whole thing. Now, it's an animated movie. I realize we're not talking about an Oscar winning show, but even for animated, even for mediocre animated films, I think this one is below par. So, fortunately, I had to give The Addams Family a D.
Oh, no.
Dean. Yeah, I was disappointed. And I've always been an Addams Family guy.
Yeah.
I love that. Usually you're a Munsters or an Addams Family person.
Right.
I think I liked the Munsters better. I just think it was a funnier written show. But I always liked the Addams Family very much. But this one, and I've liked the movies, the Broadway musical. I've liked all the different versions of it. This one, I'm afraid, didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, those movie versions, the Raul Julia Angelica Houston's from 15 years ago, those were great. Those were a lot of fun.
They were. Yeah, they were. I think they properly captured why people like these movies. And they captured the heart and soul of the original intent of it all, but this one, the Addams Family Mansion is, it's on a real estate subdivision, and they're trying to develop the area. They're trying to get this ugly mansion off of the subdivision. It's they put too much stuff in it that I didn't like.
All right, we won't see it. Dean, have a safe trip. Call us when you get there.
Is that announcement as annoying to you as it is
to me? No, not at all. Not even a little bit. It sounds great.
I have them do that, so it sounds like I'm really at the airport.
Dean,
tell Robin she sounds great.
She's right.
Yes,
travel safe.
This is her spare job that she has.
Thank you, Dean.
Talk to you next week.
That's all right, bye.
Dean Richards, we think he's at an airport. The news is next. That'll come to you by way of the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.